Shalom Aleichem. Kodesh Tov Mivorach. I'm going to be brief today. It's Rosh Chodesh Adar. And I'm not always usually so folksy. But I'll tell you something interesting here. Before we start, then I'm going to be brief, very brief. I forgot today was Rosh Chodesh. And that means that the minyan that I ordinarily go to, which is at 7 o'clock, starts at 4 to 7. Yesterday I baked matzahs. And baking matzahs takes a lot out of me because I was there with two of my boys, with Moshe and with Azariah, and we do the flour. And the flour is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. There's sifting, and then there's weighing, and then measuring, etc. And of course, putting it in. It's a lot of work. It's 75 kilos of flour. It's a lot of flour. And also all the dust, etc. So I was finished last night. And I couldn't record the shiur then. And I got up this morning, I forgot it was Rosh Chodesh. So my minyan, which ordinarily starts at 7 on Rosh Chodesh, starts at 6:45. I show up at 7. I'm behind the times. So I went upstairs and learned and waited for the 7:30 minyan to start. It happens to be that a friend of mine has Yahrzeit, always on Lamed Shvat. And he asked me to come over and make a l'chaim with him. I did. And that being the case, I'm a little bit on a different level of the stratosphere at the moment. But it's all for the good. It's all for the good. Mishnechnas Adar, I mean, albeit we're still in Lamed Shvat, but Mishnechnas Adar, Marvin Besimcha. I'm not suggesting imbibing alcohol, but this was certainly for his benefit in many ways, and for my benefit, we talked about different things, it was important. So this is going to be a shiur that is brief. I'm not going to read every Mara Makom inside. And it's dealing with handling greatness. Under normal circumstances, I think anybody who's bothered clicking on this link, I know there are those of you who don't open the link. I know that those of you who don't click on the link, I'm not going into particulars, right? But I know, I see the general response. And that's important to me even if you just open it. Because that means we still have a kesher. And not that that's needed for my self-concept. And so far as I think it's important that that many of you that I've known for many, many, many years you shouldn't want to detach the cashier. It'll serve you in good stead at some point or other. It's always good to have a sometimes a life preserver in life, even if I'm not all that worthy, but whatever. I think it's useful. I think it's important. Any event, all that being said, done with, let's just deal with you. You know, under normal circumstances, and this is generally my it's a theme that runs through many different things that we talk about. The idea of of exchanging the God-centric universe for an egocentric universe. Forgive me. Oh, excuse me. And this is, this is always an issue of overcoming, excising, or perhaps exercising oneself, the dibbuks that are inside of us. But this is called handling greatness. Because Matan Torah, which we experienced last week, and the rest of the story of Matan Torah is found at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, I think really is a story of how to handle greatness. After Hashem has handed us Matan Torah, we make a bracha every morning, Hashem bacha banim mikol ha'amim, v'nathan lanu es Torah so. So the Torah says that's going on Matan Torah, the experience of Matan Torah, that incredible clarity, that incredible new perception of life. How do we deal with it? So without further ado, let's start. And again, like I said, I'm going to be brief. Right. Pasuk, the end of Parshas, Yisro says, V'osa'ale b'malos al mizbechi. This is talking at the end of Parshas Yisro, which is the Parsha of Matan Torah. And there it talks about the idea that one should not rise up upon steps upon the Mizbeach, so that your nakedness should not be revealed. Rashi obviously tells us that one's nakedness could never be revealed, even if you were to walk upon steps, rising upon the Mizbeach, because every kohen is wearing mechnasayim, underwear, right? The special undergarments of the kohen. His nakedness cannot be revealed. But the fact that he'd have to separate his legs walking upstairs rather than keeping them heel to toe as you walk up a ramp is close to that. And Rashi tells us, what is this meant to teach us? That, I mean, you might have thought at first glance that it's coming to teach us, oh, we'll be holy and this and that, the next thing, etc. But Rashi says, no, Rashi says it's coming to teach us that if you should not show a sense of disrespect for stones that are inanimate and that have no feelings, so certainly, ahas kama v'kama, Kalvachomer ben Benoshel Kalvachomer, you should be careful with the feelings of your friend, who after all is affected by the way you deal with him. He has feelings. He has a sense of self-respect. His self-concept can be damaged. Don't deal with him in a fashion where he might perceive that you have a certain degree of disrespect or disdain for him. That's what Rashi says. The Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Zayin or Beis brings down two different dinim learned from the Psukim, Losal lebemalos al Mizbechi, at the end, the very, very, very end of Parshas Yisro, and Ve'ilam Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifnehem, the very beginning of Parshas Mishpatim. It says, the din, first of all, Bar Kapara teaches us the din of Havimisunim B'din. The person should weigh carefully. Don't rush to give an answer. Think. Think about what's being presented before you in terms of the halachic question, in terms of the din. Sunim B'din. Sunim adin. Watch and be careful. Think. In other words, don't be so full of yourself. Oh, it's all clear to me. Again, there's an idea that divrei Torah should flow easily off your lips. Shedivrei Torah yu mechudadim beficha. They should be sharp. You shouldn't have to think. You shouldn't have to always exit your, forgive me, your egocentric universe to come back to the God-centric universe to remember exactly, you know, what's the din, etc. It should be clear. You should be living in that world. Nonetheless, misunim bedin. Think about it. Think about the ramifications. The fact is that we know that. I remember hearing a story once about Rav Eliashiv. A young avreich, coal man, brought an esrog to Rav Eliashiv to look at. And Rav Eliashiv was looking at it. He says, an exquisite esrog. And he knew this man was not a person of means by any stretch of the imagination. And he said, exquisite. How much did it cost you? And he told him, he says, it's puzzle. For you, it's puzzle. You shouldn't have spent that much money. They're dinim that you spend extra money on bar mitzvah, mostly chumash, whatever. But given that he knew his situation, for you, it's puzzle. This is not a din Torah, per se, between two parties. Have a mesunim bedin. Think over all the ramifications. It doesn't have to always be the cool, it could be the chumra also as well, but think over the ramifications. Don't be so sure until you've thought it over. This idea of not rushing up the Mizbeach, go slowly with thought. Rising up upon the ramp of the Mizbeach is juxtaposed to Elam Mishpatim Shartosim Nefneim. This is talking about civil cases. But the example I brought was not a civil case, but nonetheless, I think it's an important idea. I think it's related. Certainly in a civil case between two parties. Masunim, think about it. The next halacha that Rabbi Lezer brings down, also in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, once again measuring the juxtapositioning of lo sa'a lo b'malos al mizbechi, do not rise up upon the steps. The Mizbeach, there should be a ramp rather than stairs. And Vela Mishpatim, Ishelo Yivsa al Roshe Am Kodesh. That the Dayan, as the Gemara says, the Dayan should not step over the heads of the people. It's really talking about a very practical case, going out, creating a situation where people have to give kavod, right, etc. Again, you have to be mechabe to Talmud Chacham. There's no suffix. There's no shaila. The dayan for sure, they have to be mechabe. But he shouldn't create a scenario of where he is showing, even in the most backhanded of fashions, as though they are nothing more than, I don't know, the hoi polloi, whatever. He shouldn't be posse. He shouldn't step over their heads in order to come back in, to go out and come back in unnecessarily, so they should stand for him again and again and again and again and again and again. Why? This is to teach us that even the Dayan, who is on a different strata than the rest of the people, he is on a different level. He's the Dayan. He's the Gadol. But he shouldn't be Mezalzel in the Am. He should be like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is an Eved Ne'eman Koras Halov. Handling greatness. The Sifse coin from Tzfas, as opposed to the Sifse coin in the Shach and the Shulchan Aruch, the Sifse coin, the Talminim of the Arizal, he says, he looks at the Pasuk again, once again, at the end of Yisro, it says, your nakedness, your deficiency, right, will be revealed if, as it were, you do what? So he says over here, sometimes people are put into positions of greatness, power. And when they deal with other people inappropriately, they deal with them as though, where are my thumbs? Where are my suspenders, I should say, so I can super glue my thumb to my suspenders. I'm here, right? And you're, what are you? Right? If you take that attitude, says the Sifse Kohen, then you are placing yourself in a position of where your nakedness, your deficiencies will ultimately be revealed. You'll be Nanash. You'll be Nanash. Let's go now a step further. This was the very beginning of a parsha. Again, the smichus, the juxtapositioning of Losala b'malos al mizbechi at the end of Parshas Yisrael with ve'ele mishpatim shatasim lefneim. Now let's go a step further. We see at the end of the parsha. Let's take a look here just for a moment. This is the very end of Parshas Mishpatim, the conclusion of Matan Torah. Again, there's discussion between Rashi and Ramban. Is this taking place prior to Matan Torah or after Matan Torah? It says, V'nigash Moshe levado l'Hashem v'hem lo yigoshu v'am lo ya'alu imo. Moshe Rabbeinu rises to his madrega. Right? Everybody's got to be to have their place. They have to have their place. Unique. As we'll see, there'll be Mishtachavim Merachok. We'll see in just a moment. But within this entire discussion over here, when it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu, what was being done, again, either prior to Matan Torah or post Matan Torah, but as they're standing at Sinai, clearly, it says an unusual thing takes place, and this is what we're going to deal with here. It says, Vayal Moshe v'Aaron Nadav Aviyu v'Shivim Yizikne Yisrael. They rose up. It's written in the singular, Vaya'al. Why? Because each one had a separate partition unto himself. They weren't all together. Moshe went to where he could go. Aaron went to where he was meant to go. Nadav Aviyu, Shivim Yizikne Yisrael. The sons of Aaron, Nadav Aviyu, the 70 elders of Israel, they all went to their partitions. This is the... part of the problem of when no one's home. When no one's home, to be able to... You forgive me. When no one else is home. So, that's what happens sometimes. My apologies. In any event, so it says this juncture. It says, Vayiru, referring to Nadav Avihu, and the Shivim Mizikne Yisrael. It says, Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael. They saw Kovyochol. The Rabban Shom was Mashkiach ban Klal Yisrael. The Sachas Raglav, and below his feet, are Kemas, Livnas HaSapir, like the workings of Livnas HaSapir, the whiteness of the sapir stone, the pure sapir stone, Sapir. And like the essence of the heavens in all of their purity. Right after that, it says, "Ve'latzile bnei Yisrael lo sholach yado." Kadosh Baruch Hu's word did not do anything against the atzile bnei Yisrael. I was referring, certainly, at first glance, it appears it's referring to the those who were referred to earlier, Nadav Aviyu. The two sons of Aaron, two of the sons of Aaron, and the Ziknei Bnei Israel, they deserved an onesh. Hashem did not send his hand out to them to punish them. They saw Kovyochol, the Boreolam was Manig, right, the world, and they ate and they drank. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's back up here just a scooch. It says over here, Losal b'malos, im nasati lecha shum ma'ala. If I've given you some greatness, this once again is the Sifse Kohen from Tzvas. If I've given you some greatness, Losal yos rimash nasati lecha, do not place yourself on a plane that is higher than that which I've given you. Kosha asu paro v'chiram. Both of them received greatness, min ha-shamayim. Both Paro, right, and Chiram, Melech Tzur. And we see in the Tanakh that both of them, as it were, took this greatness, and as it were, they went totally to their head. Paro says, Leo Rivaniasi Sini, for example, the ore of the Nile is mine, it's though I made it, it's mine. Don't rise up higher than that which you've received. In other words, once you've received greatness, once you've received understanding to one degree or another, what does that mean? Does it mean that you're higher than other people and that's what you should focus on? You're higher than other people? Or perhaps you should focus on, now that you're blessed, what does that mean for me to understand now? What is incumbent upon me now to understand in the way that I deal with life? The Tolos Yaakov Yosef, Talmid of the Baal Shem, he says that this is true in all Amudei Olam, Gimel Amudei Olam, Torah Borik Milas Chasadim Shelo, Yichnos Adam Lifnim Imadre Goso. A person should know where he's holding. In other words, sometimes when we have an insight, when we have an understanding, etc., we think we're there, we're bigger than we are. It's the whole world is open before us, right? We understand, we're the top, we're etc. Shizeu Sibas Bitul Agamri. Once a person oversteps his boundaries, once again, even if it could be, again, a we'll call it a spiritual experience, a spiritual clarity, and all of a sudden he thinks, I'm here, I'm there, I've done it, right? Be careful. What you've received, you should appreciate. You should take advantage of your understanding, take advantage of what you've achieved to further develop your closeness to Hashem. Don't let it go to your head. Don't let it go to your head, because that will be your very undoing. Will be your undoing. Again, a person has to aspire always to greater heights and greater heights in terms of his understanding, in terms of his observance, and that the Tolos Yaakov Yosef says is what Ben Tema taught us in Pirkei Avos, Kal Kanesha, rise up, rise up, rise up. Don't let it go to your head. Again, we're trying to emulate Moshe Rabbeinu as best as we can in that sense, that Moshe Rabbeinu is who is like Moshe Rabbeinu. There is no one like Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, he's the Anav Mikol Adam. He is the most humble because he knows before whom he stands, it never goes to his head. Let's take a look here. We mentioned the Pesukim before, but we find the end of Parshas Mishpatim. The very first Pasuk in Perek Chaf Dal, El Moshe Amar, Alei El Hashem, Atav Aaron, Nadav V'Yavriyu, V'Shivim Mizikne Yisrael, V'Shtachavise Mirachok. Says the Berdichever, the Ktushas Levi, Levi Yitzchak Berdichev. The idea of Ishtachavise Mirachok, he says, is there's two relationships that a person has with the Creator. One is Mikarov, and one is Mirachok. Right? One is Mikarov, and one is Mirachok. From Rachok, from a distance, a person is overwhelmed with awe. And this gives them the ability to have yira before the Borei Olam, before the Creator. Mikarov, where he sees that Hashem is all around him. Now he's calling to him from the walls, he's calling to him from the ceiling, he's calling to him from history, he's calling to him from the rules of the physical universe, he's calling to him from the Torah, Be'ikar. Hashem's voice he hears everywhere. He's Karov. He's a Karov. The introduction to this stage of Matan Torah, again, once again, be it according to Rashi, that's before the actual Nesinas HaTorah, be it according to the Ramban post, is V'ishtachavisa Mirachok. Don't forget before whom you stand. With all of the insight, with all of the greatness, with all of it, remember for whom you stand. The Zesha Kosov, it says the Berdichever, V'ishtachavisa to bechinas yira shemishtachav leze omar mirachok meosa bechinas shel rachok esigu bechinas hayira. Know before whom you stand. And says the Berdichever, he says that's why it says, right, it appeared to be a little bit redundant, Vel Moshe omar lei el Hashem atah. You, of course, are talking to Moshe. He says the fact that it mentions atah, Aaron, Nadav Aviyu, Shivim Ziknei Yisrael, is to teach you that each one has a unique partition unto themselves. each one, in spite of the fact they're all being called at the same time, but each one has a partition to himself. And as if I know my Rebbe, if I understand what he's saying, that doesn't make me him. It means that now, as it were, as he understands, I will understand from his understanding. Again, a person always has to aspire to grow more and more, but he always has to realize that there are partitions. There are those who are higher and lower and below that, etc. So within that light, this idea of each one had a partition to himself, that the Kedushas Levi brings up, the Panim Yafos, right? The Baal HaFloah, Frankfurt. He tells this unbelievable thing. He says that this relationship is, and I won't read the entire thing, but here's a pasuk that you always should remember. Pasuk in Yeshaya Nun Beis Ches. Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion. Ki ayin ba'ayin. We are not all equal in terms of understanding. Look, just as at Matan Torah, that we learned that each person, given their own personal development, in spite of the fact that you can intellectually comprehend something, right? I can intellectually comprehend something. Again, no two people understand something exact the way. But my Rebbe says something. My teacher teaches me something. I understand it. Am I him? No. Because hopefully he's not just understanding it and communicating the idea. He's there. He's living that. He's living that. So even though I understand it, I have to realize that I understand it, but perhaps I'm not quite there yet, not the way he is. So says the Panim Yafos, that's the pshat in the pasuk. This is talking about Asid Lovel. Again, he draws the parallel to what took place in Matan Torah. Ki ayin ba'ayin yiru, an eye within an eye will see b'shuv Hashem Tzion, when the Geula comes, when Mashiach comes, when Hashem returns to Tzion, we will see in the eye of the one who's above us. Once again, if you conceptually understand something, what's so important over here is that it's not enough to just understand. It's so important that it should be part of us. We should live it. Ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem Tzion. Ayin ba'ayin. We'll see in the eye of the one above us. He says, and that's what transpired. This is what he says earlier. Amor ma'ata, ata mechitza la'atzmecha. This is Moshe Rabbeinu in his own mechitza, in his own partition. Ba'aram b'mechitza la'atzmo. Right? And then of Aviu and their mechitza, and the Shem Niskenim and their mechitza, etc. Each one, because really, when we learn Torah, the goal is not just intellectually to be developed. Oh, I know this, I know that, I can tell you of what, I can tell you this, etc. The idea is that it should transform us, that we should live it. It should be part of us. It should be part of us. This, after all, is the week. Last week it didn't say Naaseh v'Nishma. This is the week of Naaseh v'Nishma. The Naaseh leads to the Nishma. The commitment that it should be part of my real life, not just some sort of piece of cognition that's floating around in the galleries of my mind. It has to be me. So that's why when one receives from one's teacher, who received from his teacher, we're seeing ayin ba'ayin. We see, our eye sees through their eye, and their eye saw through the eye above them, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. Because when you see something, that's your reality. It's not just you're thinking, you're seeing it. This is your reality. So let's continue. We saw these psukim before about the experience of Matan Torah and the Atzili B'nai Yisrael. It says, Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael v'sachas raglov kemas elivnas asapir v'che'etzam ha'shamayim l'tohar. They saw it was like the whiteness of the sapphire stone and the essence of the heavens in all their purity. What exactly did they see? So Rashi says that at this point, really they were chayv misa. And as they'd overstepped their boundaries, they, as it were engaging in an understanding upon whose level they weren't appropriately living. We'll see that there's a difference between who is being referred to. Over here, Rashi says it's referring to Nadav Avihu, the two eldest sons of Aaron, and the Shiva Miskanim. Each one was unfortunately dealing with their greatness, the greatness that they received now, in an inappropriate fashion. And because of that, really, they deserved to be removed from the earth because they weren't doing the job description that Hashem had given them. They were distorting it. They were distorting it. But Hashem did not take them at this point. He took Nadav Avihu at the day of the Chanukah HaMishkan, the inauguration of the Mishkan that we read about in Parsha Shmini and in Sefer Vayikra. And the Skenim were taken in Parshas Baloscha, Vayi'am Kimis Onim Ra, Bozne Hashem, when the people were complaining. In Parshas Baloscha, we'll see, we'll discuss that in just a moment. At that point, Vativra Bam Eish, what do you call it? A fire burned in the midst and consumed, right? B'ktzea Machane. There it says, what would appear to be the edge of the Machane, says Rashi over there in Parshas Baloscha. K'tzea Machane could either refer to the lowest echelons of the Jewish people, the muktzim, those who are set aside, outside as it were, the lowest echelons, that's where the punishment came, or maktzinim, those who were at the edge, the perimeter, but on the highest level, the leaders, the skenim. So we'll see in just a moment. At any event, it says that what did they see? Vayechzu es Elokim. Hayu mistaklim, says Rashi. Yistam mistaklim bo belev gas mitoch achila v'shtia. Right? They saw in the midst of this incredible vision, right? They were too familiar with it. They didn't deal with it properly, and they ate and they drank. What did they see? So Rashi tells us here earlier in Pasuk Yud, Kimas elivna sasapir, he haisa lefonam b'shas hashibud. They saw livnas, the Rashi is understanding from Gemara and Sota, that's referring to not whiteness, but levena. The bricks that they had to make when they were subjugated and tormented in Egypt. B'shas hashibud liskor tzorosan shel Yisrael shayu mishubadim b'mas levenim. When they're being subjugated by having to build the storage houses and the cities for Paro. Uche'etzem ha'shamayim l'tohar kishenigulo ha'yor v'chedva l'fonav. They saw the light and the joy before the Rebbe Shalom when the Jewish people were redeemed from Egypt. They saw it all at once. They saw the experience of Hashem with us during our suffering and the experience of Hashem with us during our redemption, and they saw it all at once. This is obviously a very lofty idea. The idea of seeing, right, different events, so different, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kesher to us in these events, during our suffering, during our rejoicing, is a very lofty vision that they had. And yet, they ate. They ate. It was like part of regular life. They ate. So let's examine this for just a moment. The Hamek Davar says, the Netziv says, that their experience over here is, under normal circumstances, a person receives a prophetic vision, and it's very jarring for his physical being. But at this point, right, what he, if he really is receiving it with all of Hashem's ratzon that he be connected to it, and he has the ability to connect to it, he needs nothing physical, because he's living in a world of delight, of connection to Hashem. The fact that they needed to eat shows that they hadn't really achieved, they hadn't really reached that level, right? They hadn't really begin to live on that level, or at least live properly on that level with that which they saw. And this, again, this is the conclusion of Maamar Har Sinai. This is a story of greatness. But greatness is not meant to be just intellectual. Greatness is meant to be translated from the intellectual, from the cognitive, to become experiential, to be, this is who you are. This is who you are. Once again, ayin ba'ayin, we will see with those through the eye of the one who is above us, who's already living it, experiencing it. When we understand it, we will understand it through the level of the way he sees it, because he's already there. We shouldn't confuse our understanding with what we already achieved. Again, it's a goal. This is what we're aspiring to do. To make part of our experiential existence that which we understand, to bring into sync the depths of our thoughts with the very being, with our very being. We have to know when we're not quite there yet. This was their mistake. They saw this incredible vision. They had the need to eat, to drink, etc. This shows that, what he calls, in spite of the fact that they were received this incredible clarity, but they didn't really know how to deal with it, or weren't perhaps bechlal on that madrega. And this is a terrible distortion of Torah. Torah is not just cognition. Torah requires cognition. Torah requires understanding. Torah requires the use of one's intellect to try and understand more broadly, more deeply what the Torah is communicating, but it does not end there. It is na'aseh v'nishba. It has to become part of our experiential life, not just ideas with which we play. That being the case, I would like to differentiate between both the Skenim and Nadav Avihu. These were the Atzili B'nai Yisrael. These were the greats of the Jewish people. Again, the Torah is teaching us how to receive the Torah, like Moshe Rabbeinu, to bring it down, and how, as it were, to make a mistake with understanding of the Torah. To think that it's enough to understand and not to properly align it within one's life. That's a mistake. It's a mistake. So the Ksav Sofer teaches us with regard to Nadav Avihu. He tells us this very interesting thing. Chazal tell us when they sacrificed in Parsha Shmini, an Ezh Zara lefnei Hashem, a strange fire before Hashem, and they were consumed. They died. It was in the day of the Chanukas HaMishka, the day of the inauguration of the Mishka. They brought an Ezh Zara, a strange fire. An idea that they thought up on their own, etc. A fire came out from within the Kodesh Kodashim, entered like two tendrils into their nose. Their insides were consumed, their soul was consumed, and their bodies were left lifeless. As I'll tell us about Nadav Avihu, they didn't get married. They had no children. They didn't want to get married, to have children. And at the same time, it brings down another story about them, that they Ki'ilu looked upon Moshe Aaron and said, when will these two Skenim die, when will these two elders die, and we will have to lead the Jewish people? And the Ksav Sofer says, they're clearly such big people. Why are Chazal telling us such strange things about them? Things that would be the polar opposite of greatness. When will Moshe Aaron die? He says a very unusual parish, but I think it's understandable within the light that we're discussing here. They didn't want to have children because they looked at Moshe Aaron. He wants to put together the two ideas for Chazal. Moshe's children didn't come out the way Moshe did. And says, Chazal, for why understood, not of Avihu, because Moshe Rabbeinu was completely given over to the tzibur. He couldn't raise his family the way that we ordinarily think of giving time to one's family. He was completely given to the tzibur. They looked at that and they said, you see, his children are not like him because he's completely given to the tzibur. Aaron, on the other hand, that's us, Nadav Avihu, Elazar Itamar, our brothers. Great people. Aaron is not as given over to the tzibur. He's not as given over to the general public way Moshe Rabbeinu was. He was able to give more time to raise us in his mold. What shall we do? Moshe is not going to be here forever. We all need to lead. We need to lead like he leads. But yet, what is the point of bringing children to this world if we can't raise them properly? And they weren't Makayim the mitzvah, piri v'rivya. This is an idea that emanates from a person who sees himself as being extremely lofty, and indeed he was, but he's bitten off more than he can chew. There is no greater way to be over Hashem than to Makayim his mitzvahs. You've got all sorts of interesting ideas. The secrets of heaven. This is the same story that took place that Chazal tell us that Chizkio didn't get married initially because he saw that he would have a child, a son called Menashe, who would be a Rasha. I should bring such a child into the world. Said Yishayahu Navi to you, to him, to Chizkio, you deserve to die. Why? These are the secrets of heaven. Your job is to do mitzvos. Do your mitzvos. Do the mitzvos. Do them properly. Do them with thought. Do them with feeling. Do them carefully. But don't subvert them because it doesn't fit with your perception of the way things should be. This is the sin of Nadav Avihu. They reached greatness, but the world of their ideas, as it were, wasn't ayin ba'ayin. They experienced it on their own. Their greatness, their understanding. And they came up with new ideas, but these ideas weren't in sync with Torah mitzvahs. If they'd seen ayin ba'ayin, if they, as it were, had seen eye inside the eye, inside their father Aaron, who saw on the side, and the eye of their, what do you call it, of their uncle Moshe, who received it from Hashem, they would understand there is no other way to connect Hashem other than through Torah mitzvos. We can't come up with a new idea. They're indeed lofty people. But they didn't have the ayin ba'ayin. They weren't, as it were, like the Berditchever told us early, they weren't makayim sufficiently. The pasuk of Vishtachavisi Merachok, have yira, don't you realize you're treading here in very sensitive ground? You need to do it the appropriate way. Don't think you can just suck it out of your thumb. Again, I don't mean to make light of what they did. But it has to be within the context of Yishtachavisa Merachok. It has to be within the context of Ki Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru B'Shuv Hashem Tzion. Because you can not just receive intellectually, you have to receive experientially. That's not of our view. With regard to the Skanim, Rav Tzadok tells us a very fascinating thing. The Tzaddik tells us that the Nukwot at the time, Parshas Balosra, with the Misodonim, what took place there was that the Jewish people, they were complaining. Why? Because the pace of the travel in Midbar was too much for them. Oh, the reason that Hashem was bringing at such a quick pace was for what purpose? In order that they should be able to enter Israel sooner. But they didn't look at it correctly. They said, oh, it's so difficult. They were complaining. says Rav Tzadok there in Parshas Balos Chavanir Shehayel Hem Kas V'Taromis V'Leiv Al Zenem Arab Azne Hashem. They didn't give expression to it, but they were thinking it. Not just a passing thought that goes in and goes out of your mind. They were thinking, going over and over and over and over. Taromis, complaints. That's why it says over there in Parshas Baloscha that this was Rabba Ozne Hashem in the ears of Yachol Hashem. If they'd done something, then it would have been seen, then it would have been in the eyes of Hashem. What does it mean? He hears it, he hears what he called, he hears the reverberations of the mind, of the thoughts. Again, not a passing thought, but constantly going over and over and over again. And he says that the skenim, right? They also were afflicted with this. In other words, so they could be bent out of shape by the hashgacha of Hashem because it didn't fit what the way they wanted it to be because they found it annoying with God so pushing us at such a right at such a pace, etc. Where's your emuna? Where's your bitachon? Again, I'm not saying this lightly. I'm not saying you can do this. Where's their amun, their bitachon? That of course this is the tov. This is to bring them sooner to Eretz Israel. So the skenim hadn't achieved the level that they understood. They saw, remember, they saw at Sinai the two things at the same time. They saw the livnas hasapir, Hashem's experience, Koviyachol, with the Jewish people in the midst of their suffering, their torment, in Mitzrayim, at the same time, Ki'etza Shamayim LaTor, he's rejoicing at the time of the redemption. He's with us always. And there they saw it all at once. They were able to reflect upon it, as it were, in the world of the intellect, but it hadn't become the world part of the world of their affect. We have to be so careful. Again, when we say over ideas, we shouldn't give over a false impression that what we've achieved in the world of intellect is part of our affect. This is our goal. Our goal is that the intellect and the affect, the way that we see, the way that we experience, is the way that we understand that there, as it were, two sides of the same coin, one the intellectual and the other one the emotional. But when it's only over here and it's not in the heart, this is disastrous. This is a disaster. It's a disaster. At any event, they met their ends at two different times. The parsha here is about growth, handling greatness. The parsha is about translating the world of what we understand into the world of the way we are. And that's the goal of Matan Torah. That is the goal of Matan Torah. Okay? We should all be zochem to translate our understanding into our experience, to live lives of Torah. As it says, Tzadok says, Katshenu b'mitzvosecha. Someone asked me the other day, a student, it was a very interesting question. He said, why is it in Lekai Netzor, it says, Psach li mi besorasecha, v'mitzvosecha tirdof nafshi. So she asked me, why is it first Torah and then mitzvosecha tirdof nafshi? Why is Torah first and mitzvos afterwards? And then I added to a question, you know, it's interesting, you find in Shabbos that it says the exact opposite. Katshenu mitzvosecha is saying cholkenu besorasecha. If we don't learn, then we'll never live the world of the mundane. We'll never leave the world of the mundane. We'll never leave the world of the mundane. Psach li besorasecha. first opened my heart to Torah, that I should appreciate the Torah, I should learn the Torah. And then I will appreciate that I need to do the mitzvot, because that's life. Life is not whatever I can gain over here and enjoy over here and the next thing and that thing and the next thing and the next thing. We say that in Elokai Netzor every day. On Shabbos Kodesh, though, we have to know that if we wish to achieve the highest level of bonding with our Torah, with our understanding, Kachinu, says Rav Tzadok, like we say in Davening, Kachinu Mitzvosecha, V'seichol Kenu Besorasecha, Kachinu Mitzvosecha, L'idei Zenuchol Levakesh, V'seichol Kenu Besorasecha, Shnasig, Kol Echad Chelko B'Torah, K'bo Sheyeh L'Asid. If I really wish to receive my chelik in the Torah, in Hashem's word, I have to preface it with Kachinu Mitzvosecha. It has to be part of my life. So this is the conclusion of Matan Torah. Dealing with greatness, dealing with understanding, the relationship between the world of cognition and the world of the experiential, the intellectual and the experiential, and the blending the two together. Think about it. I'll try and think about it too. Have a chodesh tov mevorach. Mishenichnas oder marvin besimcha. It should be a year of Yehud. It should be a month. Mitz Hashem mikan v'hal Yehudim ha'isa oro v'simcha v'sasam v'ikar. Kein tiyalanu. Have a wonderful Shabbos. And may we all be blessed. Right? May all the Jewish people be blessed. Hashem shirachmanas on his people. We see the Gula Shleim of Meher B'Meinu. Amen. Take care.